Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 80 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to cover this week's nerd news. We're going to begin an entertainment talk covering the latest losses reported by Disney and the confirmed casting of Boba Fett in the upcoming season of Mandalorian. And then we'll move over into tech news and discuss the European Union's decision guarding cookies on websites, some dangerous Chinese spying in the Pacific countries, a new FCC ruling affecting the U.S. military, and some talk around Elon Musk and his companies. There's a lot of news to get to, and we're going to get started.
Calling back all nerds.
All right, and welcome back to episode 80. And this week, another week of some semi-quarantine down, starting to get back to a little bit of real life in some parts of the country. Here in California, not so much, but I think in Illinois, you're about in the same level of closed shutdown as me here.
They have no plans on opening anything anytime soon.
So one thing we can talk about as far as with all these closures and everything that's happened is this last week, Disney has their quarterly earnings report comes out. They reported a $1 billion loss, greater than $1 billion loss. Some are saying up to $1.5 billion loss in their theme parks division alone in the last quarter. So when you look at internationally, yes, Disneyland and all of Disney World was closed over this really since early March. But they still got a couple months, about 2 months, 2.5 months of time open. But their international parks closed way earlier. So huge losses on Disney. I'm sure you know Disney's going to recover. They're going to be fine. But it's still undoubtedly they're taking a huge hit.
Well, and you know they employ, fuck man, who knows how many people per park. You know, so it's like you look at as a $1 billion loss for Disney, and you're like, oh well, they made $1 billion on one fucking movie, like a big deal. Like, but in that $1 billion also goes to paying the salaries of probably 3,000 employees per park. You know, when it comes to the food vendors, the actors, the like all that. So you know, to me, it is kind of a sad number. You know what I mean? It just shows the amount of money that these parks generate for Disney, but that's not all profit. Like it's a lot of it goes to paying a lot of people's salaries, and that's a lot of people out of work right now.
Man, it's a lot of local tourism based businesses that have
the hotel chains, the restaurants, the you know you don't live on the Disney park while you're there for the weekend. You know, so all the local hotels and car rentals, everything, like the whole area is taking a hit, you know, and it's really sad, man.
Yeah, so it's a brutal effect. There's some articles coming out and talking about, you know, how long it's going to take Disney to recover, or what the new normal for the theme parks are going to look like, and how are they going to move forward from this. And we'll maybe get a glimpse into that this week or today. Actually, the Shanghai Disneyland has opened up, so we got in China the start of all of this is now at a point that they're opening up their theme parks, and we'll start to see what Disney's policy is there as far as how are they managing some level of social distancing or mitigating some kind of risk over there. And we'll see. I'm sure once they open up here, it'll mirror it somewhat. And they're talking about having only digital lines only, that there's only ways to check in via apps, and you get specifically told when you can come back to rides, kind of like their fast pass system, but permanently for everybody. So there isn't a lot of people just standing around in certain areas, really opening up some other areas, limiting like the indoor spaces and how many people can come in. So it's going to have drastic effects on theme parks. And that's whenever people feel comfortable going back to those things.
Well, I mean, as you know, I put my money on Disney opening back up sometime soon. So, you know, for our listeners, I just bought 4 round trip tickets from Chicago to San Diego to come visit you for Halloween. You know, yes, worst case scenario, I get to see your ugly mug for a weekend, but we're really trying to go bring the kids to Disney for the Halloween parade. So I think they'll be open by then. I think the world's going to get a rational grasp on this at some point in the next month or so, hopefully. And it won't be like it used to be, but hopefully we'll get to enjoy the park in some adjusted, you know, situation.
Yeah, we're keeping a close eye over here, and we'll see what takes place. But we're hoping for the same, that things start to resemble
for
normal.
For everyone quarantined and going crazy, go on that Hopper app and start checking some weekends you want to get out of your town, because flights are cheap.
Yeah, for now, there's speculation that when the flights and people start traveling again, that actually the average price tickets are going to go up.
Demand's going to skyrocket.
Demand's going to skyrocket, and they're talking about putting in different mitigating measures.
Well, as of right now, even when we reserved our seats, you can't book the middle seat. It goes window, blank, aisle, blank, window. Like, that's how you have to, like, they're trying to social distance on the planes even as much as you can. So our seats now, they have the isolation.
Yeah. So when demand returns, that means the supply is down by, one middle seat per aisle. and that will have an effect. So yeah, this is the time. If you can project far enough out, buy some refundable tickets.
Man, I got round trip for me, my girlfriend, and my two kids from Chicago to San Diego on United, not on Spirit, not on some duct tape plane, for less than $400. Man, like, that's a sore dick. You can't beat that. that's love. And I'm going to Vegas for around $100 in September. So buy them tickets now, guys, before it comes up. Think of some vacation. I know, come towards the end of the year, after all this shit's over, you're going to be sick and tired of staring at your walls. So I highly suggest that our listeners take a nice little vacay.
Yeah, I just say buy refundable tickets. All right, but let's move on to the next piece of entertainment news. Still sticking in this, I guess, world of Disney. And that's that The Mandalorian... major announcement that they had this last week was that they are hiring, is it Tamara Morrison, who the guy who played Jango Fett, and he is now confirmed to be playing Boba Fett in the upcoming season 2 of The Mandalorian. I mean, it makes sense as far as casting person, since Boba Fett was a clone of Jango Fett.
I love the continuity of it.
It's cool to see these people come back,
but
I just want to hear, how are they gonna go ahead? I guess you gave some of the fans, a lot of the casual fans who just think Boba Fett's the coolest guy.
He's a bitch,
and then you, the biggest, and then you upset fucking bitch some of us
in television or in film. Like, he gets killed by a blind fucking Han Solo. He has like four lines in two movies. He had a cool costume, and because he was so underused in the films, people were intrigued by this character, and a blind Han Solo takes him out. Like, we have this picture of the Mandalorians now from the TV show of how badass they are and everything like that. And then you're going to throw in the fucking Benny Hill of Mandalorians and bring them into this show. Like, I hope it's like, some people are saying, like, maybe it's flashbacks. I just hope they don't bring him into like the Mandalorian continuity, like he is still a bounty hunter, climbed out of the Sarlacc, like, and all the fanboys are making excuses. Well, it takes 100 years for a Sarlacc to digest. No, shut up. Like, in George Lucas's intent was to kill him. It really bothers me when people want to resurrect this dude and make all kinds of excuses and add their own fan fiction to make him a badass. Like, if you go off of the actual films that were the actual intent of his character, he's a fumbling fucking idiot of a goddamn bounty hunter. He lucked out a few times. He was Vader's fucking bitch. And then he dies from a blind Han Solo. Like, why do we need him? Like, the show was great without him. So I'll wait till how they use him before I really complain. But
I'm gonna trust in, I guess, Jon Favreau to not get too crazy here.
Yeah, but Taika's a weirdo. You don't know what he's gonna do with him. And I'm a fan. I'm not saying Taika, makes shitty movies or anything like that. But he might, he just might be going for some off the wall shit. And I don't know if this one's gonna land with me. It's going to land with a bunch of people. Like, there's going to be a bunch of happy... It's going to be another one of those polarizing Star Wars events. Half the people are going to be like me, and the other half are going to be like, yay, and go beat off to boba porn.
I'm hoping it is just like the flashback type thing, because from kind of like the insider talk is that the contract and the casting of him, it was for a very limited run. It's not going to be a major character. They're talking about an episode, maybe across into a two episode type thing. So maybe it's just as they go deeper into the backstory of the Mandalorian.
Anything is post Sarlacc, fuck your face. That's all I gotta say.
It's going to be flashbacks prior to, as they explain more about the Mandalorian code. They explain more about the history of Mandalorians.
I just never understood why he's considered such a badass. Like the clone, so stormtroopers are different than clone troopers. But even the clone troopers didn't have the best fucking aim. And he's a fucking clone trooper. That's all he is. He's a fucking clone trooper that didn't have the training that the rest of the clone troopers had. He was Jango's like pet dog. Like, and how weird is that? That you, like, can you imagine cloning yourself and just having a little version of you as like your kid or your pet? Like, the whole situation is just really weird. It's just really fucking weird. But like, yeah, it was an army that got that wasn't, you know, too great at combat, and it was basically every one of them was you. Like, this, it's so frustrating. I hate that he's like such a popular character. I hate it. And what's funny is I have like the actual actor's 5x7 autograph in my nerd den. Like Stu went and got his autograph one time at like a signing and got two of them and brought me back one just as like a ha 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 fuck you thing. So, and it's personalized too. It's got like, it's like to me, like the actor wrote it to me. Just knowing,
I wish like, Stu would have had him write like, I'm not a bitch.
Man, no, sign. I want to say there's something on it. Like it's right behind me. I should go actually look at it. But yeah, it's like, it was like a gag. Like here, I got your favorite Star Wars character's autograph, and he gave it to me. I was like, you motherfucker. Like, and how do you be mad about it? You know what I mean? Like, how am I supposed to be mad about that?
That's good. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it's old school trolling before the internet.
Yeah, it's when you got to spend 2 hours in line waiting for a signature just to troll somebody.
Yeah.
That's trolling with love right there.
I applaud the effort, bro. I really applaud the effort.
But yeah, I mean, you mentioned, you know, maybe this was the entertainment topic that you were saying before we started recording that you couldn't remember, but the Taika Waititi, we haven't talked about that, but him being confirmed as directing a movie within the Star Wars realm, we still don't know any details about it.
My only fear with Taika is that he's really campy. You know what I mean? Like he likes to have fun in his films, and like, yeah, I just hope Mandalorian's got this really like depth to it and like tone. Like I just hope that Taika doesn't like really fuck with that tone too much. Depends on where they're taking season two story and things like that. I'll wait to complain, but I have my hesitations, and you know, we'll see. Ragnarok wasn't my favorite when it first came out. I really didn't like it. It took me like 4 or 5 viewings and a little bit of self-reflection before I actually enjoyed Ragnarok. But now I do, and Jojo Rabbit was a phenomenal film. Even though that was comedic, he was able to portray some really dramatic scenes in that film and craft a message. And, you know, but it was also very campy at the same time. But he walked that line of drama and comedy like perfectly. That's why it got nominated for an Oscar. You know, it was a brilliant film. I just don't know how many times he could do that.
Like, yeah. Well, and I mean, it's Star Wars. So by its nature, campy is what they look for. I mean, this is the whole point. So he fits in well, I guess. If you want to accuse him of being campy, then he fits in well in the Star Wars uniform or universe.
Yeah, I mean, the later films more than the earlier ones. You know, there was a little bit of comedy in Star Wars, but it was like sprinkled here. You know, and then we get fucking Ryan opening with the worst fucking dad joke you've ever put in a goddamn fucking movie. And yeah, off to the fucking races we go.
But yeah, I think that's all we've got for entertainment side of the house. And We can move into a little bit over into tech news. I wanted to start over in tech news with something coming out of the European Union, oddly enough. But it was interesting to me, this whole concept. So European Union has now made it. They've passed a couple laws trying to protect data privacy over in the European Union. They're making it to where you have to give permission. Consent to companies in order for them to sell your data. So they're trying to give greater ownership of your personal data and what companies are able to do and how they make money off of it in the European Union. And the latest ruling that they made was that all of these like cookie consent pop-ups that we get on every website nowadays that you go to it's the ultimatum. It's not really an acknowledgement. It's either.
Did you want to use this? Click the fuck OK button.
Or click more information while we tell you you're not getting on our site. Like, yeah. There's no opt in or opt out. It's just opt in or close browser tab. That's all you get. And the European Union has said nope. Cookie consent walls is not the consent to cookies is not consent to you selling any of their data. So just because you have these cookie policies, that's not good enough. You have to deliberately request permission to sell data. There has to be a greater kind of transparency between what you're doing with the data, as well as like scrolling on a website or side swiping on a website or moving through the material itself is also not considered consent. That does not give them permission to capture any data from you because you're on the site. So some good legislation in the European Union that's giving some greater control to consumers on how our digital privacy and digital data is being used.
Good to see somebody's fucking government working during COVID.
Yeah. So maybe, maybe somewhere down the road here in the US, we'll start seeing less cookie consent pop-ups and just knowing that is some ploy to take every bit of our data,
yeah,
and pretending like we're okay with it. No, we just don't have many options.
Yeah, no, they're looking out for consumers, which is good. You know, we used to have a whole bureau that did that for us, but not so much anymore. You know, so it's good to see at least some government setting a precedent so that maybe it sheds a light over here across the pond and we can start pushing that. You know, side story that we didn't have on the outline is to touch back up on that Earn It Act. I know you filled out your EFF form.
Yeah.
I filled out my EFF form. I got a letter back from Senator Dick Durbin and Senator Tammy Duckworth basically just telling me, I don't think you understand what the Earn It Act is and we're going to pass it anyways.
I got the same ones over here.
I want to say that it's just one blanket email that they send for every senator that is backing this, you know, and even Dick Durbin is, you know, I'm a co-founder of this bill and da 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 da. Yeah, you're the moron I wanted to speak to, dummy. Like, yeah, of course, you're the fucking moron I wanted to speak to. And it was just like, yeah, it was this letter trying to make it seem like, don't you care about child trafficking? Don't you care about child pornography? How could you be against this bill? And it's like, oh,
and
my God.
They didn't even conceal. In the emails that I received, they didn't even conceal the fact that it's going to break down the digital protections that are there.
Their argument is like the good is better than the bad. So fuck you. Exactly,
they're like, people are concerned that this is going to break end-to-end encryption and privacy and digital privacy. But we're really going after crimes against children and stuff like that. And it's like, oh, like you didn't actually put that concern to bed. You just immediately transitioned to why it's worth it.
Yeah. We're just going to tell you why your concern doesn't fucking matter. It's for the kids. Yeah. Like, oh, so, Jesus Christ. Yeah, so that was, it's a nice little follow-up on our Earn It Act story. Go to the EFF and send them those letters so they have to keep sending these shitty emails, though. Hopefully, eventually, someone will recognize us.
Either that or you just create a new job for a new staffer that just has to keep sending emails, but whatever it happens to be.
Oh, it's a bot. It's a goddamn bot. Fucking bot. You know it is. insert name, insert senator, send. Like, fucking assholes.
All right, but back on track with the plan topics here. But we've got
a fuck China story.
Yeah, we do. We got a little fuck China segment here.
Back to fuck China. Yeah, China.
We've stayed off the China thing because really all the news out of China was
COVID.
It was just COVID related, and I just didn't have the energy to go that direction.
But now they're not so worried about COVID and they're back to their evil shit, guys. We got it here for you.
Yeah. And the latest story, so this is coming out of kind of the cyber division over at Forbes, but they're just saying that over the last, really it's been 4 years that they've been tracking this, but lately, especially inside this COVID stuff, there's been a lot of Chinese digital spy, digital espionage systems that are incredibly sophisticated to a point that the individuals who are tracking this are saying that it's getting incredibly dangerous to actual government diplomat relations in the Pacific. So what they've found is the Chinese government is penetrating like Indonesia, Australia, South Korea, all the countries neighboring them that have shared interests in the South China Sea, that they're digital espionage is penetrating deep into like actual diplomat computers, being able to delete files, read files on diplomat computers.
I read the article when you sent it to me. That's what I found like really kind of crazy is like how like precise some of these hacks are going into. It's not like they're sending out these wide fishing nets like they usually do and trying to skim for the information like through email chains based on diplomatic emails. So like they have to act like they have good communication with the world. So they send a friendly, what's going on over in Indonesia? Like, is there anything that we should be talking about? They send that email, and within that email, they're able to target files on computers. And like, it's actually very precise. So you think it's just like this diplomatic conversation between two representatives of two governments, but really, they're turning their ambassadors into spies.
Well, and then they're turning in once they break down into another country, then they're using that hacked system to send emails out to other diplomats through diplomatic channels that are also then giving them that backdoor into digital systems. So the Australian government caught emails that were related to information for best practices for COVID-19, giving data for, that's what the emails bodies were covering. So they're taking advantage of the frequency at which governments in these areas, in these tight-knit countries, bordering countries are communicating regarding COVID, and they're masking this malware that's giving them access to diplomat computers. So pretty scary stuff. You've got to think that these same attempts could be made very easily against our diplomats, against our whether it happens to be our individuals with embassies in these countries, or again using how globally tied communication channels have been because of this pandemic. It could just be coming directly our individuals here in government bodies that are communicating back to China or any of these neighboring countries that have been hacked.
Yeah, it's again, I just don't know what it's going to take for the world to really like
just say fuck China.
Yeah, like it's weird because you want to call them like the bully, but they're not like the aggressive bully, you know what I mean? It's like that really shady friend you have that just like smiles in your face and acts like he's your best buddy, but then goes behind your back, fucks your girlfriend, talks shit about you to all you know, the rest of the class. Like they're just really this shady fucking player on the world stage. And at what time do you just look at, you know, we've all had that friend. Most of us aren't friends with them anymore. You know, at what point do you cut these people out of your life?
Yeah, but the problem is
he's the dickhead rich friend like that. He's the dickhead friend like that that's rich and has the pool. And you still talk to him because you like to go to his house and have the pool and his mom puts out fucking great snacks. You know,
that's exactly what I was gonna say. The problem is in this instance, it's you're friends with that guy in the first place, not because he was ever a good time to hang out with. It's because he has all the resources you want. He's got the Nintendo 64. Yeah. He's got the nice TV. He's got all the other things that you want at that stage in life. And it's hard to cut ties with that.
Yeah.
So
I don't know, man. It's time for us to get our own pool.
But it's always interesting for us to kind of see these stories come out when they're so tied into really like these really sophisticated targeted government espionage. And I know we're doing it. I mean, it's not this is not necessarily a condemnation that they're going beyond what is, you know, acceptable, because to say that then would be to be so naive to think that we're not doing the same thing to other nations. But it is definitely still scary. It's information that we don't want them gathering, and we don't want them exploiting our allies in the Pacific as they continue to land grab and expand their power and influence in that area.
Yeah. Hashtag delete TikTok.
But I guess we can just now move back domestic side and cover some of these major companies. First one, I guess, on the domestic side, we can just talk about so the U.S. military this last week, we get some generals coming out, and they're quite angry with the FCC as the FCC made a ruling supporting a company regarding 5G technology. And the ruling that they did, it benefits this company very well. The company that they're supporting, Ligado, it gives them access to the 23 megahertz band, which was supposed to be a buffer band that protected GPS. And what the military is saying is that now that they've ruled, FCC's ruled in favor just to help this company, that really there was no reason to help this company over national interest.
Someone greased the fucking wheel.
And now we see what could be some significant interference in the band that's required for clear, uninterrupted GPS communication. And GPS communication being incredibly important to the military and all of the military systems, whether you're talking about aircraft, targeting systems, weapons, all of it is reliant on GPS. But then it's also, I mean, this isn't, the military is the one who are really kind of vocal and complaining about this because it has national security issues. But then as far as just national economy, GPS is integral to a lot of national economic interests, and it's believed from some high-level officials that the FCC really made a mistake not understanding the full effect of this ruling.
At what point does the military get to flex its national security powers and kind of, you know, like, at what point does national interest supersede some fucking bullshit FCC deal? Like, where are the checks and balances on this?
So I imagine it would only be in under certain circumstances if there was some kind of like war powers enacted or whatever else. But otherwise, you know, normally the FCC just keeps these things protected. There's a, you know, within the various frequency spectrums, there's the public side where the, you know, the radios over there, radios go. And then there's the military side, and they're separated by a couple of megahertz in order to avoid interference and be completely separated. And now, you know, you got the same thing in these ultra high frequencies and these larger bands, the 23 megahertz bands specifically here. If the FCC doesn't protect it, the military doesn't have any control. And this is part of the problems. We talk about the FCC and we talk about these bodies that, you know, you put the chair of the FCC, they can act with complete immunity without any legislative body or oversight in these, some of these grams that could protect it. Supreme Court protected the FCC's ability to before. We talked about it a couple weeks ago with net neutrality, where they were saying like, Supreme Court was talking about maybe we roll back some of the powers we've given to the FCC, where in the past we've ruled that they're the only ones who know what the fuck's going on. So, you know, we might as well give them all the power.
The FCC, you know, when it was first implemented, you know, we had radio signals and TV signals. That's all people cared about. You know, we had telephone lines, we had radio, and we had television. And that's pretty much what their job was to regulate. Well, we've hit a new point in our society where, yeah, maybe we should look at what this branch of the government does, what powers they should have, what their responsibilities are. And this government is so slow to change. You know, technology in our society changes it in the blink of an eye, yet we still have, you know, we still operate at you know, decades behind where we are actually at in society. And I think this is one of those cases, is that the original intent of the FCC was adequate for the time being. Then the dawn of the internet came, and ever since the internet, they have been playing catch up to regulations and what protections they need to instill, what protections they don't. And it seems like corporate interests are the only ones that can fast track these things and get stuff done for their own personal motives.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see if this actually has an effect. I mean, FCC claims that there is no effect here. It'll not affect any kind of GPS or cause any interruptions in GPS, that they tested it thoroughly by the FCC's standards, whatever that means. And they said they tested it at higher levels than what Legato plans on operating. And they've put a power limit on Legato. And at power levels above what Legato's approved to transmit, there was no effect on the GPS signals that they tested from the Department of Transportation. So they made a decision that, hey, once we throttle their power down, there should be no effect on any GPS signals. Obviously, the military disagrees. And in the end, the FCC made a unanimous ruling. So we'll see over time. The FCC can overturn it, but there isn't, in my knowledge, a way really without some significant kind of legislative
I'm oversight jumping into the military on this, because
me too.
Like, what benefit are we getting from letting them do this? Like, why? You know what I mean? Like, what if we are you know, risking breaches and fucking with the system? What benefit is society gaining from letting Legato use this? Why don't we just tell them, no, fuck off? You know, like, I don't understand why we have such an interest in letting this company do this.
Yeah, I really don't even know. You know, Legato, this is the first time I've ever heard Legato mentioned in this 5G talk. So I don't know what they're providing, what their purpose is within the 5G spectrum. But yeah, I tend to say, you know, you would think that the FCC and the Department of Defense would be on the same page with protecting what is considered incredibly sensitive and very tied to national interests frequency spectrums. But in this regard, it's not that clear, and it would be very difficult to overturn it or to force an overturning. The FCC can go back and change the ruling, but to cause an actual overturning of the FCC's decision would be quite difficult and probably wouldn't happen. So then you just have to hope that the weak signals that come from satellites, because by the very nature, because of the distance they travel, the satellite signals are fairly weak for these GPS satellites, that whatever power output they're putting in the frequency spectrums by Legato, that doesn't get affected. So definitely some potential conflict there. And the FCC continues, I guess, to piss people off.
So let's talk about this little Amazon story before we get into our Musketeer segment.
Yeah, so the latest real thing that I just wanted to highlight, we've talked about kind of digital ownership in the past, and
Dr. O, man. This is my guy right here.
And what we get is Amazon this week is being sued for essentially taking away movies that people have, you know, you can put air quotes around the word bought. If you've ever been on Amazon Prime's website, Amazon Prime Video on whatever smart TV or smart device you have, there's always the option to rent and the option to buy.
And let's be real, it's not just Amazon, but that's who's taking the brunt of it now. You know, have the My Movies Anywhere, Microsoft, you know, there's plenty of these people that tell you can rent or, like you said, air quotes, buy the content.
And in this lawsuit, what we get is some of these movies that have been bought in the past, they're getting taken away off of people's libraries, off of people's ability to download them. And it's been happening over the last decade. This lawsuit is now being heard and seen as whether you truly own these things that you buy. What Amazon would like to say is that you're not purchasing the copyright. So you're not purchasing the actual movie itself. What you're doing is purchasing a license agreement that allows you to view it. And that licensing agreement then can change or expire over time. So that purchased material, that downloaded material, is not yours forever. You don't own it. It's not like you have physical property ownership of it. What you've been granted or you bought was a license to view it. And the terms of that license agreement can expire, can change, can remove.
Well, this is what we talked to Cory Doctorow about in the Cantina conversation when I mentioned, like, why is it that Redbox can rent me the actual physical Blu-ray for $2 a night, but when I rent a digital code from Xbox, it's triple the price, quadruple the price, and they have nothing physical they need to give me. All they're doing is sending me ones and zeros. And it's the same, you know, the same thing he replied is, you know, like, you, even when you buy it, you don't own it. You don't actually own anything. You know, that's what I converted to buying my video games digitally, because I'm too lazy to get off my fat ass from the couch to switch games when I want to change a game, you know, because I'm very indecisive on what game I want to play. So I recently, over the last probably 2 years, stopped buying the physical copy of the game and just download it now. And that is a big fear, is when they're just going to say, oh yeah, you're remember how you bought a copy of this game? Well, we don't think that you should have it anymore. So we're just going to remove it from your library.
We just banned your gamer tag for calling some 12-year-old an asshole in Call of Duty. And now all the games that are associated to it are...
Fuck him and his mom.
Are no longer yours. And it's... But I mean, that's the real fear is, you don't control these things. I tend to think that nowadays, especially in the video game world, movies different, but in the video game world, even purchasing the discs itself is not a protection that you're going to have access to that game anyway. Because for whatever reason, if you run into issues, you could always lose the ability to update. You can't just play these games straight off the disc anyway. They all require some level of digital download after the fact anyway.
Yeah, well, it's really easy to make a new gamer tag. I guess that's true. To circumvent that, but the minute you do, you lose anything attached to that gamer tag. That's the problem. I just don't like it. I have that same fear. Is, you know, I do want to start just like purchasing digital content, but I still buy like the 4K discs and some games just because. You know, you're really dependent on a lot of factors when you buy digital. Like, if your internet goes out, say Comcast has a broken line somewhere, can't watch my entire fucking movie library. You know, I just feel so much more comfortable having like the disc to put in the disc drive and just let it run. You know what I mean? Like, rather than, you know, if Xbox Live gets a DDoS attack, there goes my entire fucking movie library. You know, I'm already really pot committed by cutting the cord and using Hulu for my live TV. So whenever Hulu has a fucking bug, can't watch TV. You know, if Xbox Live is down, can't watch fucking TV. Like, so I'm already kind of like too reliant on a number of factors for my entertainment. And this just kind of makes me even more reliant on it. That's like the last bastion of like safeness I have, is like I pay $30 for the 4K fucking disc. And then even when my cable goes down, even when fucking Xbox Live has a DDoS attack, I could always go in my basement, grab, you know, an old Blu-ray or an old, you know, movie and put it in the drive and have something to fucking watch.
Yeah, it's a curious kind of case, and you know, we'll see what the outcome is. I hope that the lawsuit wins, and this concept of, you know, it's fairly intuitive that when something says that you're buying it, you have some level of ownership, and ownership is permanent. And in the case of Amazon and these other digital companies, they're not saying that what you purchase is permanent, and it's the license agreement. So the lawsuit is really against the verbiage that they're using. We may not be able to get around. The lawsuit's probably not going to be able to change the licensing agreements that we're technically purchasing. But the goal, I guess, is really to change...
To clarify, to make it apparent. Yeah, when you click that button, that $6.99, $15.99, $20.99 doesn't guarantee you shit.
Yeah, that instead of rent versus buy, that maybe it's like rent versus long-term lease or rent versus long-term licensing agreement. It doesn't have the same ring to it for Amazon and for consumers, but it also doesn't then confuse consumers who then 6 months down the road, 2 years down the road, whatever the interval is that licensing agreement changes, all of a sudden they feel quite salty about the fact that it's no longer available to them.
Yeah, consumer protection. I'm all for it.
And then we can... I guess now move into our Musketeer segment, as Steve likes to call us, the Musketeers. Here we're big fans of Elon and what he does. Last 2 weeks have been weird weeks for Elon. We talked about it last week, him tweeting that his own stock was overpriced, causing a pretty good dip in his stock price. He also tweeted about selling all of his worldly possessions, and then he had a baby. And I still don't know how to say the baby's name, but it's a wild explanation.
He explained it, and I still don't know.
He explained it on Joe Rogan, and I saw like the explanation on Twitter and what all the symbols mean, and cool. I guess.
Yeah, it's I did see a meme that made me laugh that just was like it had the Elon's baby's name, and it says like white people gonna learn how to pronounce this before they learn how to pronounce that Nguyen last name, like Nguyen. Like, yeah. I still can't pronounce it. Like,
win.
Like, white people gonna learn how to pronounce that before they learn how to pronounce this one. I was like, you know, legit, probably. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, so he had all, you know, all of those, as well as all of his condemnation for all the COVID-19 response and everything else that he's been tweeting about. And then he goes on Rogan over this last week, which we listened to.
I enjoyed this one more than the other one.
Yeah, it was definitely, you know, there was more comfort level between Joe and Elon in this. It was definitely more conversational, and you know, they talk about Neuralink a fair amount, which I find fascinating, and the fact that he's talking about within a year he's going to be sticking these chips through somebody's skull, and like making like really bold.
Ambitious to fuck with people's brains. That's what I got out of that conversation. He is really wanting to probe your fucking dome.
And then even talking about like the fact that, you know, vocal language will be obsolete in the next 5 years, that we're going to be able to talk without it. Talking, it's like, you've lost your mind,
he's
Elon.
Gonna
like,
he's going to give us all Cerebros.
That is not true. But there's no way.
Like, Rogan didn't really hit on it. He's like, but yeah, it can restore sight even if your cornea has been separated or anything. I'm like, did he just say he's going to, you know, cure blindness?
Yeah.
Like, is that what he just fucking said? Like, blindness might not be a thing ever again? Like, holy shit.
And he's talked about that. He's talking about, whether it's blindness or deafness, all these things, if they could properly map those centers of the brain, then your eyes don't work, but we got fucking 4K webcams on your forehead. You're good. Like, that's all you need.
Yeah, man. Like,
you start putting cameras on the back of people's heads so they could fucking have 360 vision.
I'll take a rear view cam. I'll take a rear view cam just so I can see all the people flipping me off as I walk away. I want to know who to fight.
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy talk on Neuralink, and like the fact that within a year he thinks it's definitely going to be put. And he talked about the first round of people getting tested. It's all to correct disabilities. It's all to, whether it's mobility issues, cognitive issues, speech issues. It's all going to be focused on fixing disabilities or improving disabilities. But then somewhere in the future, you just want to Google stuff with your brain, you got it. You want to talk to people without ever having to open your mouth.
It's going
to
be insane. It's going to be insane. I did like the fact that they talked about the Tesla reveal, the truck reveal, and he went in depth on how big of a failure kind of that was and what happened. And I just like the fact that he laughs it off. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't look at his failures as other people take them. You know, like, he's so ambitious and so determined that when he gets embarrassed on the national stage, it's just like, all right, cool. Like, no, we're fine. Like, I was mad at the time, and I swore under my breath, but, you know, we know why I did it, and hindsight being 2020, we won't let it happen again. Like, I just like that whole attitude.
It was a good talk from him. And then he comes out of the Joe Rogan interview, and then I think the day later, He's back on Twitter, and I'm sure Joe was like, "Oh, you could have tweeted this the day before we talked," where he tweeted that he was leaving California. He's threatening to take away his manufacturing plants and his headquarters out of California.
I'm okay with this. People threaten to take their corporations out of states over taxes all the time. You know, you have neighboring states warring over corporate tax rates, trying to poach corporations and factories all the time. This is not new. He's just taking a more, I wouldn't even say political stand on it. It has to do with, you know, California's policies to COVID, but it's really about more how they are affecting his plants and his business. And he just doesn't agree with California. So if I don't agree with California and their business practices, why am I going to have my business in California?
I would like to point out where your inconsistencies, as with like the FCC story, you want to talk about like corporates greasing the government wheels to get what they want and whatever else is bullshit. And then in this instance, it's, Oh no, absolutely. Leverage and threaten the livelihood of
it's gone on for decades. It's gone on for
Yeah, but you don't defend it that way when it's Legato, but you defend it that way when it's Tesla, right? And we don't defend it that way when it was Amazon shopping their headquarters.
Well, you
around.
Know California's not gonna back down. California's gonna do what California does. So as a free American business owner, he has the right to just up and leave if he wants. That's the great thing about choice.
Yeah, but neither one of us were.
If you don't like the way estates run, you can leave.
Neither one of us were in support. You know, Chicago. You know, your home there was in the talks trying to fight for Amazon to bring their headquarters there, and being willing to throw billions in tax cuts and benefits their way and everything else. And none of us were supporting that. I mean, in the end, we don't like the overreach of these corporations.
No, should there be federal regulations on that discourage this kind of poaching? Sure, but until they are, like, fuck, man, we lose companies in Illinois all the time, and we gain companies in Illinois all the time. Like, yeah, it's the game. Like, change the game, yes, please. I would encourage you to add some more rules to the game. But as long as this is the game, he has every right to do it. You know, just as every other corporation does it, he should not be held to a higher standard than the Boeings, the GEs, the fucking Cats, the Amazons, like all these motherfuckers. They all do it.
Yeah. I found it interesting. Some local assemblywoman in San Diego is now getting like national attention because she just tweeted, "Fuck Elon Musk," after he announced that, and then it gets picked up by everybody of like California Democrats says fuck Elon Musk, whatever else. Like, hold up, pump your brakes. She's a local San Diego assemblywoman. Like, she's, yeah, maybe she's like Democratic, but she's not a Democrat representative. She's not like,
and like I said, I said before we started recording the show, I just think it's funny. Yeah, fuck Elon Musk. Fuck the guy that converted his plant into making thousands of ventilators for people during COVID. Fuck the dude shooting fucking hundreds of satellites into the air every month to give the entire globe good internet. Fuck the dude creating cars to eliminate fossil fuels and try to save the planet. Yeah, fuck this dude because he doesn't agree with you on fucking COVID. Fuck him, right? He's fucking you fucking simpleton.
So yeah, it's a good interesting story. I don't think he's going to leave. It would still come at a significant cost to Tesla to move all the other stuff out of California.
But he's the kind of guy I don't think gives a fuck about that cost. I think he cares more about the principle.
No. He gives a fuck about that cost in Tesla because it's a publicly traded company and he has no choice but to give a fuck. Like, you cannot make
decisions.
Well,
that leads us to the other story. I don't know how much is that true because he tweeted out flat out that his stock was overvalued, tanking his own stock. So really, how much does he give a shit about how profitable Tesla is? I do think he has more principal motives than profit motives in my eyes. That's what I take away from this.
Yeah, maybe, but Tesla's a different beast for him because that is his profitable company, or it has to eventually seek a profit, and it has real reasons why he has a fiduciary responsibility there as a part of that company.
This dude's still living on PayPal money. Like, this is all these companies are his sandbox, man. They're his fucking sandbox. You know, another part of the story that we were talking is, yeah, he's talking about selling all his worldly possessions because he just really doesn't give a shit. He's like, yeah, I got like five houses, but I'm never in them. Why do I own these things? Like, just so I could say I own them? Like, no, fuck it, downsize.
Yeah.
Like, he was talking about brain capacity the entire show. Like, he's on a different level of concerns.
He does nothing but work. And
he's on a total different level of concerns. You know, and honestly, like, if California wants to keep their economy shut down, that's their right. They have every right to do that. And if you are for it and you're a Californian, then
do they have that right?
stay in California. But if you don't agree with it and you want to explore other states that are loosening up, then go to those states. You know, people are fleeing Illinois right now. We were losing 100,000 citizens a year annually before this COVID shit. Pritzker is going to have anybody with money running for Tennessee, running for Michigan, Wisconsin. Like, it's fucked up what's going down right now. We're just drastically changing the landscape of our society.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm curious to see what's going to happen. It's going to be a difficult thing for him to move out. I'm actually surprised that I haven't already started seeing like neighboring states' governors tweeting at Elon, being like, "Hey, big tax breaks over here, just in case you're wondering."
Arizona's got lots of land for you to put solar panels on, Elon. Here you go.
You got all the room for all your battery farms or whatever you want. Just bring it over. I'm sure if he does it in earnest, you will see states and stuff like that start trying to.
Yeah, there's a lot of dirty politics that go in with poaching these companies, and I don't agree with it. I don't think it's very ethical as a united nation that we are, that our individual governors are constantly cutting each other at the neck just to create jobs and bring in more revenue and taxes to their state. It's a fucked up system. But until we fix the system, I'm not going to hold Elon to a higher fucking standard than every other fucking company is held in this nation.
Yeah. Well, we can jump to the other arm of Elon on our way out of the show here, and that's the Starlink talk. And once again, Elon is promising to make astronomers happy by changing the Starlink design. They're sitting up at over 400 total satellites out in low Earth orbit now. They're looking to turn on Starlink in the next couple months. They're going to start doing private beta testing as well as then a limited public beta testing at high altitude areas this year. And then hopefully by next year, they're going to start rolling it out nationwide and then worldwide after that. So Starlink's moving forward, but their satellites are still pissing off astronomers with these streaks of UFO lights or whatever else going across the sky.
You had a large population of people who obviously don't listen to our show notice a bunch of lights traveling in the sky in a straight line and didn't know what the fuck to think. You know, anybody that listens to our show would know flat out that those were probably Starlink satellites.
It's legitimately trippy to see, though. I was in Anzabrego at a stargazing night, the very first launch, and nobody knew what the hell was going on. And nobody had cell phone signal because we're in the middle of the desert.
Were you the only rational man as everybody was putting on their... you didn't tell everybody, like, it's okay, guys?
It was the very first launch. Nobody knew what it was going to look like. This was a year ago. I was camping in the RV in Anzabrego, and we were at a ranger talk by the state ranger in California State Ranger that was doing a star talk to a bunch of people. None of us had cell phone signal, and it was the very first launch, so nobody knew what this streak looked like. And all of a sudden, it starts coming across. We're asking the ranger, we're like, "What constellation? What is that? And they're like, "Oh, that's a pretty bright shooting star." And they're like, "Oh, that's still going. Oh, wait, there's another one." And then there was a ton of them, and nobody knew. The ranger didn't know. Somebody literally drove away, got cell phone signal, and came back and told everybody. Apparently SpaceX just launched some satellites and that's what that is. Nobody knew what was going on. It was the very first one ever. It was a year ago. And now it's pretty common knowledge. Now people know what those images look like. Apparently not everybody knows, but it is a trippy sight. Like if you didn't know what it was.
I would have to believe that my first inclination just would be to shrug and be like, "Oh, it's probably just some crazy government shit." Like I'm not the person that like a lot of these people are that instantly dive right into the deep end of the pool and just put on that tinfoil hat. And like you just assume like, okay, it's probably some government shit. I'll find out later.
Yeah, I didn't think I was sitting there watching the first real sighting of aliens or whatever else. But I didn't know what the hell it was.
That goes to Area 51 twice a year and has all the fucking hats and t-shirts to prove it. He lost his shit.
But really, ever since that first launch, and they've continued to have launches since, while promising the whole way around that they're going to fix their solar panel issues and the highly reflective nature that they have that are affecting the night sky, and they're continuing to promise that again, they're looking at making more changes to their constellation of satellites in order to, they've already tried to darken, make less reflective the solar panels. And they continue to be hopeful that they will be invisible to astronomers in the future. But the first attempt of dimming them didn't work. This last launch was still bright as fuck coming across the sky.
You know, you got to make some concessions. What do you want? You want high-speed internet in rural areas, or do you want to look at the stars? I'm assuming more people need internet than stargaze. Yeah.
I mean, the latest, so they tried to just dim it and make it less reflective. That didn't work. So no, this latest attempt is literally like it is putting umbrellas on the solar panels that will automatically deploy when it's at that most reflective state around its orbit. So you got to think there's like...
They're trying to give it sunglasses.
They're trying to give it like the car visor that you put in the windshield. Yeah. Yeah. They're just... they're putting that little, you know, Chewie and Han and in the Millennium
Mando,
Falcon.
The Mando and Baby Yoda car visor.
But that's what they're going with now, is they're going to try to put that on the next batch of satellites that will deploy an umbrella visor type thing that'll block the panels at the most reflective angles that they have.
Well, I mean, at least they're trying. You know, they recognize that they're not trying to piss everybody off. They're still going about their goals. Like they're not trying to start a war with Neil deGrasse Tyson. Like, okay, guys, we hear you. We'll try to do something about it. You know, the goal is still to shoot a shit ton of them up there. If we can dim them, we'll dim them. If not, then sorry about it.
We're still shooting them. Yeah.
You know, but at least they're trying. I'll give them an A for effort.
But either way, I'm excited for when the speed tests and stuff start coming, when we start getting that private beta test and then public beta test later this year. Curious to see what kind of speeds they're going to be putting out in that. And then also, you know, there was another ground-based testing of Starship this last week that passed. So we're getting closer and closer to that gigantic behemoth Starship actually flying, which I really want to see the first flight of that huge
monster, yeah.
thing going up in the sky, because that is the next step to setting up a base station over on the moon first.
Oh, it's going to be cool. We'll see.
But
anything to not talk about COVID.
But that's it for this week's Nerd News. So thanks for listening to episode 80 here. And I guess we'll just ask you to please give us just a minute of your time following up after this, and maybe give us a little rating review over on iTunes, or if you are an Apple avoidance kind of person like me, maybe over at Podchaser, podchaser.com. You can find the Nerd Cantina and throw a rating review over there, as it helps us feed those algorithms, so that way maybe somebody's searching something about nerd topics, they find us.
Yeah, or share a Spotify link, Podcatcher, whatever, however you listen to, just put it out there. Maybe get us get one of your friends listening, give us a recommendation. You could also head over to the nerdcantina.com/merchandise, grab yourself a nice little t-shirt, walk around this summer, represent the cantina. You know, we'd appreciate that. That's some good marketing.
Yeah, maybe we got to start. I was sewing some masks last week. Maybe I need to start showing up some nerd cantina masks.
Oh, shit. Cantina masks. God damn it. I didn't even think of that. Genius.
All right. Well, that's all we've got this week. Thanks again for listening. And we will talk to you again next week.
See you, nerds.